Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I want to talk to you today about the parable of the sower. This really, I'm talking to people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and should be out there winning souls for Him. But I'm also want to talk to you if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. The most important decision that you'll ever make is to confess your sins to Christ, ask Him to come into your life and become your Lord and Savior. That will ensure the fact that you will be in heaven with Him for all eternity. And what a wonderful deal that is. And I would also invite you to come to the First Baptist Church tomorrow in Holbrook, Arizona. I will be preaching at the 11 o'clock hour, and the church is located on First Avenue in Buffalo in Holbrook. And I know that the people there would just make you feel very welcome. We would be excited to see you come into our service. You know, Jesus told the parable of the sower, or as some call it, the parable of the soil, in three of the four Gospels. He told in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23, and then it's told in Mark chapter 4, 2 through 20, and finally Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And I want to read the Luke's rendering to you today. It says, "And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." You know, if we read this parable from the perspective of the sower, we get a better understanding of it and why Jesus emphasized the idea of sowing seed. Jesus said a farmer scattered seed, which he told us was the word of God, on all types of grounds. He didn't say the farmer was meticulously planting the seeds in designated good soil areas in nice neat rows. He was scattering seed everywhere. And you see, what they would do is they would have kind of an apron that they'd hold out, and they'd fill with seed, and they'd go out and they would throw it to the right and to the left, wherever it could land. That seems to us maybe to be wasteful. If I was planting a field, I wouldn't throw seed on rocks, thorns, and on the side of the road. I mean, wouldn't you be careful to put the seed in only good soil? Think how expensive it must have really been. Actually, this method of planting, though, wasn't strange in biblical times, because the custom of planting was to scatter the seed and then plow it into the soil. Remember, they didn't have all the modern farming equipment that we have today. To understand the parable, remember what Jesus said earlier in Luke chapter 5, verse 31. "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick." And so as he cast the seed around, it went every place that it was needed. Christ made clear that he came to rescue sinners. His purpose was to bring salvation to everyone. Keeping this in mind, we see the parable actually has three meanings. First meaning is to show that Christ came to share the word of God with everyone. We don't serve a stingy God who picks and chooses who is good enough to hear the word. He sows into everyone who is willing to accept his word. In fact, Jesus said that he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Those who think that God predestines people from the very beginning to go to heaven or to go to hell need to realize that's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a loving God who is not willing for any to perish. The second reason was to show us how the different soils in our life can encourage us or stop us from receiving the word of God, the good news. The third reason was to encourage us to share the word of God with others. Like Jesus, we should spread the good news with everyone, not just those who we think are receptive. I've heard people say, well, it's no use talking to him because he's just not the type. And you'd be surprised. I know that when we were in Kansas City in seminary, that Marty worked with a gal that we just thought she was not the type that would ever accept Christ as their Savior. But you know, later, Marty got a letter from her when we moved to our first church in Grand Coulee. She said that somebody told her about Jesus, and she accepted Christ as her Savior, and she was so thrilled at the prospects of living for Jesus Christ. So we don't know who is the type, who is not the type. Well, our job is to spread the good news so that whoever hears it has an opportunity to decide if they want to accept Christ or not. So the soils, we need to look at them. We can't ignore the soil types, but it is important that we recognize the message of the generous sower. Jesus knew most of the people in the crowd would say, wow, what a great story Jesus told. And then they'd move on with their lives. When he ended the parable with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus was challenging them to think about the meaning of the parable. That's the message for us too. Think about these different types of soil, not only with other people, but with yourself as well. What kind of soil do you have where God spreads his seed? It's tempting to say, oh, well, he's just like the rocky soil, or he doesn't like the soil with all the thorns and brambles and all that. The first thing it said that some of the seed fell along the path. This is the in one ear and out the other crowd. They don't pay much attention. Picture a road that's hardened by years of travel by men and animals, a dirt path probably. What happens to the seed when it falls there? It's out in the open for the birds to come and eat it. Have you ever been like that? Sat through a sermon or a Bible study yawning, nodding off, thinking about something else, just wishing that this preacher would quit preaching, not caring enough to pay attention? If you don't take God's word seriously, you don't even represent soil at all. You're like a concrete sidewalk. The devil is happy to take God's word away and plant all kinds of new thoughts in your mind. What's the end result? Well, the New Living Testament says the devil takes the message from their hearts, prevents them from believing and from being saved. And that's not a very pretty outcome, is it? Then it says that some of the seed fell on rock. These people stay awake and receive the word of God and understand it to some extent, but when the testing comes, they collapse. They yield to temptation. They have no roots. They're not planted deep enough in the soil. They know God's word, but it isn't their foundation. They have a superficial faith that springs up when times are good. Then when the heat comes, just like the sun on a hot day, the small seedling that shot up on the rock withers and dies for lack of soil and water. We all face temptations. I mean, lust, money, gossip, hateful thoughts, whatever it is, not just the temptations to do wrong, but there's also the temptations to not obey God's commands and do the right things that he wants us to. to ignore those who could use our help, and to just, you know, not do the things that God really has called us to do. This is what Jesus was talking about, a superficial faith used on Sundays at Bible studies and when things are going well, but that caves in when temptations come and fails when the going gets rough. There's so many people that act like Christians on Sunday and live like Satan all week long. And I want you to know, they won't get away with it. God is going to judge them by their fruit. Then the third kind of soil, the other seed fell among thorns. They hear the word, but do not act upon it. They know God's word, but they're unwilling to accept it. I had a neighbor when I was growing up. He knew the Bible and could argue it or answer questions about what it said, but he never accepted Christ as his Savior. He had been injured, thrown out of a Jeep in the Second World War, and was paralyzed and in a body cast for 9 or 10 months, and it paralyzed him. And while he was there, he had in that body cast, he had nothing to do, so he memorized Bible. He looked at the Bible. He studied the Bible. He could teach it, but he didn't practice it. You know, if we're not earnestly seeking truth in the Word of God, we become indifferent about our devotions and the church, the Bible, and our relationship with Jesus. And I felt so bad when I thought about this man, so full of the Scripture, but his heart was still full of sin. Well, so what happened then? It's surprising how many claim to be Christians but have no stamina and easily give up if the going gets hard. They talk a lot until the test comes, then they fold. A missionary society wrote to David Livingstone, that famous missionary that was in Africa, and asked, "Have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you." Well, Livingstone wrote back, "If you have men who will come only if they know there's a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all." Their satisfaction comes from external things, the thorns, the you know, riches, pleasures, good times with all the old crowd, getting a buzz, whooping it up. Even though the seed was planted in good soil, the thorns choked it out, just like these things choke us from depending on God. Again, you're not alone if you've ever felt like this or fallen into this trap. It's all around us. It's the real world. Who doesn't like a good party? Who doesn't like to just go out and just do the things you want to do, forgetting about anything else? And conversely, who doesn't get overwhelmed by the worries of life? What's one of the major problems in today's society? It's depression. Feelings of guilt and worthlessness, feelings of hopelessness, always feeling sad or anxious, restlessness, being irritable. If you let these things grab you, they can overwhelm those seeds of God's word that will never be able to grow to maturity. I'll tell you what, the answer is Jesus Christ. Then the fourth kind of soil was still other seed fell on good soil and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. It may seem like bad business for God to send his son to die, but God knew what he was doing when he sent Christ to scatter the seed everywhere. There will be times when you feel you're firmly planted in the good soil. Use those opportunities to share God's word with others. Become a sower yourself. Jesus spoke of a huge harvest, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times more than what was sown. He was not talking just about the seeds that he planted. He planted seeds 2,000 years ago. Those seeds have grown to more than 2 billion Christians today, but Jesus wants this to continue until he returns. He wants each of us to be a sower of seeds. Some will fall on concrete, some on rocky soil, and some with the weeds, but some will fall on a fertile soil. Remember, the fruit of sharing the gospel doesn't just happen on its own. It takes a humble heart and meditation on the Word of God to produce a good harvest and to further the kingdom of God. You may sow seed differently than other Christians do, but God uses your uniqueness to reach people that they can't reach. You can tell your own story, share your own testimony, and you will affect and influence some people to accept Christ as their Savior. You might be in a position to lead a small group, or some of you could become preachers. Some of you could start a small Bible study where you work. Some of you could go on mission trips. Wherever you go, remember that you are to sow the word of God. Go ye into all the world, the Lord told us, and preach the gospel to everyone. And that's what we're supposed to do. There are many opportunities to sow seed if you keep your eyes open. And that's what Jesus wants you to do. Please don't disappoint him. A Christian lady asked her pastor, "Will you please tell me in a word, what is your idea of consecration?" Well, the pastor held out a blank sheet of paper and said, "It is to sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet and to let God fill it in as he will." One thing more. If you're going to sow seed for Christ and expect a harvest, you need to demonstrate a positive witness. I mean, you know, an old sour face is not going to bring many people to the Lord. They want to know that they can have victory and joy that only Jesus Christ can give them. When he was president, Thomas Jefferson and a group of companions were traveling across the country on horseback. They came to a river that had overflooded its banks because of a recent downpour. The swollen river had washed the bridge away. Each rider was forced to ford the river on horseback, fighting for his life against the rapid currents. That very real possibility of death threatened each rider, which caused a traveler who was not part of the group to step aside and watch. After several of the riders had plunged in and made it to the other side, the stranger asked President Jefferson if he would ferry him across the river. Well, the president agreed without hesitation, so the man climbed on the back of the horse, and shortly the two of them made it safely to the other side. As the stranger slid off the back of the saddle onto dry ground, one of the group asked him, "Tell me, why did you select the President of the United States to ask for this favor?" The man was shocked. He had no idea it was the President who had helped him. "All I know," he said, "is that on some of your faces was written the answer no, and on some of them was the answer yes." His was a yes face. Having a sour disposition will not encourage people to listen to your testimony. To reiterate, The parable has three meanings. One, to show that Christ came to share the word of God with everyone. We don't serve a stingy God who picks and chooses who's good enough to hear the word. He graciously sows into everyone who is willing to accept his word. The second reason was to show us how the different soils in our life can encourage us or stop us from receiving the word of God, the good news. And thirdly, to encourage us to share the word of God with others. Like Jesus, we should spread the good news for everyone, not just those who we think are receptive. You'd be surprised who maybe is watching your life or maybe waiting for you to invite them to know Christ as their personal Savior. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you help us to become the witnesses you want us to be, we who know you. I pray the ones that are listening that don't know you will realize the most important thing that they could ever do is to confess their sins and accept you as their personal Savior and have the joy of their life written in the Lamb's Book of Life and know that they are going to be with Jesus in his home forever. I would pray, God, that today, if somebody's listening that does not know you, that this would be the day that they would pray and ask you to come into their heart. Father, we do ask that you'll help us, each one in our point of need, that we might be the kind of people, the kind of Christians you want us to be. We're going to ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I would invite you to come to First Baptist Church tomorrow and listen. I'm going to be talking about God's three appointments with every one of us. And by the way, if you'd like to get in touch with me, my mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona. You can contact me there. 86029 is the zip code. And if you wrote to me, I would try to get back to you. Or you could try calling on my telephone, 623-845-2741. And if you didn't want to talk direct, that will also receive text messages. And again, I would try to pay attention if I got something like that from you. I just pray that God will bless you today and that you will have a good day and you will find the joy that only Jesus Christ can bring to those who love him. God bless you.